following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes. If you are a moron, please turn off your radio, because we don't need any more stupid, narrow-minded, pencil-neck geeks who wouldn't know the First Amendment if it came up and bit them on the butt. Thank you.
Take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Led you to the Tinker's Shop. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Okay, folks, time to listen up. Here's a disclaimer for everybody to listen to and realize. I do shows here on the Survival Circle, specifically in the Tinker Shop. I have been known, and I will continue to give lessons on how to build tools and how to do some weapons. These lessons are not intended to encourage people to go out and build weapons and to act like the local Cuisinart. Many of these things can slice, dice, chop, pierce, and otherwise maim and harm people if used incorrectly. These are meant for educational purposes and for enlightenment. So, with that said, we'll go ahead and proceed to discuss things and to learn more. Thank you. Well, good evening, my friends. Yes, it's the Tinker. You join me here in the Tinker Shop. It's now what, 9 p.m. on a Saturday night, Central Standard Time, of course. And today is the last day of February, the 28th of February of 2015. Yes. Well, tonight, well, I should do this here. Almost goofed up again. You know, I need to welcome everybody here in the chat room. Good evening. Hello, my friends. Glad you could join me. And like I said in the intro there, you know, please come in, sit down, drag up a chair, grab your favorite beverage, and, you know, we'll see what we come up with here in our survival circle. You know, to everybody who's listening in the podcast in the future, of course, you'll have to, you know, get out to the webpage where we'll be going later. And now let me do this. People who are just listening in straight without being out at thesurvivalcircle.com or .net or .org, to get to our subject page tonight, you'll have to go out to www.arlinarlin-tower.com/tinkers_shop. And Tinkers, as always, is capitalized. Okay, well, now that that's kind of out of the way, I'm going to go ahead here and get a little bit of a rant out of the way here, because this is somewhat applicable to our subject tonight, because what we're going to be talking about is machetes, or machetes for short. And, yeah, this week I ran across this article here. What was it? Back on the 25th, which would have been Wednesday, yes. And saw this out at a place called DC Clothesline. It's where they air out America's Dirty Laundry. And the article headline is, "Forget Guns. New York Moves to Ban Machetes. Possession Could Lead to 2 Years Behind Bars." What it is, there's a state senator out in New York by the name of Tony Avila. He's a Democrat from Queens. Surprise, surprise. And what he's doing is he was one of these idiots who was a big advocate for stringent gun control, but now he's turned his sights onto machetes. And quoting this idiot, is he was saying, Avila said, "The fact that anyone can purchase potentially lethal tool is just crazy." According to New York Daily News, while smaller knives, such as switchblades and gravity knives, have already been banned in New York, machetes are considered the same as butcher knives and therefore have remained legal. But Avila will soon introduce legislation to reverse that. If passed and signed into law, quote, "The mere possession of a machete could lead to years behind bars." And actually, this is sent out via Breitbart. And what this guy's got this got his panties in a wad about is that somebody in his district, their kid was killed with a machete this summer. Well, it seems that some guy who's about 45... he claims he was being, you know, robbed by some kids, and he went in his house, grabbed this machete, and came back out, and he managed to kill one of them. I'm not sure what all the details are. They haven't come up with a whole heck of a lot with it. But, he was 45, the kid was 17, and of course, the kid was, he was another one of these didn't do nothings, you know. Yeah, so. And so you have a case here with I'm going to say it. I don't care right now. This has got me hot. You know, it's another case of you have a tar baby wiping out another tar baby with a machete. And so, you know, they want to go ahead and take it away from everybody. Yeah, right. Take away the basic tools for a lot of people's livelihoods, because they're used in a lot of cases for if people are doing yard work. You trim off brush with the darn things, or tall weeds, or whatever. But no, you know, just these blasted idiots who want to control everything. So, oh well. Tell you what. While I get my blood pressure back under control, I'm going to go ahead and just drop another piece of music in here. I think everybody's heard of Tina Turner. And, yeah, she's done some good music along the way. So enjoy, and then we'll be back. Okay. Ah, yes. That gave me a little bit of time here just to kind of, shall we say, cool myself down or settle myself down a little bit. So I guess It's time to get into the meat of the evening tonight. So, like I said, I just kind of had to get that off my chest a little bit because, these idiots in politics just have a tendency of just, are starting to get to me. Okay, so, like I said, those of you who are in the chat room listening, if you want to follow along with the pictures, I do have a web page set up, and like I said, you know, those of you who are just listening on a podcast or whatever, or just on the radio, go ahead and go out there to arlen-tower.com/tinkers_shop, and Tinkers has a capital T. Those of you who are in the chat room, go ahead over to the left-hand side of the page. You'll see a link there for Tinker's Shop. If you click on that, that will bring us into the Tinker's Shop homepage. And as usual, on the right-hand side, you're going to see like a grid there. And there'll be a link there marked for today, the 20th of February, titled The Shete. And so if you click on that, that will bring us out to a page that's titled Your Basic Shete. Now, what is a machete? Well, a machete is a large cleaver-like knife. The blade is typically, you know, about 12 and 3 quarters to 17 and 3 quarter inches long, and usually is under an eighth of an inch thick. Remember, like I was talking about with the Gladius the last couple of sessions, that actually has a thickest portion of being about, 3/16 of an inch thick. So this is, you know, thinner yet. Okay, so in the English-speaking country, or in the English-speaking Caribbean islands, such as Jamaica, Barbados, Guyana, Grenada, Trinidad, and Tobago, the term cutlass is used for these agricultural tools, because that's what a machete is, to start with. Also, the panga, or tapanga, is a variant used in East and Southern Africa. In the Philippines, the bolo is a similar tool, but with the bolo, it has the blade swells a little bit more just before the tip to make it a little bit more tip-heavy. It makes it more efficient for chopping. The taiga is a machete of Russian origin that combines the functions of machetes, axes, knives, saws, and shovels. It's all into one tool. Kind of a neat device. Yes. Like the notes have here, it says it can easily be distinguished by the large swell at the end of the blade to facilitate chopping. You know, that's like the bolo. And the taiga, it's used by the military, air and special forces, and also the Spetsnaz use it. Okay, the modern machete is very similar to some forms of the medieval knife or sword called a falchion, which was a short sword, popular from the 13th century on. And the cutting edge of the falchion was curved, widening towards the point, again, you know, giving it a little bit more chopping ability, and has a straight, unsharpened back edge. The machete differs from the falchion mainly in the lack of a guard, and it has a simpler hilt, although some machetes do have a guard for greater protections of hands during work. In various tropical and subtropical countries, the machete is frequently used to cut through rainforest undergrowth and for agricultural purposes, you know, like for, you know, cutting sugar cane. It's also been used for like cutting amaranth as well, you know, for harvesting the seeds and such. And because the machete is common in many, many tropical countries, it's also been often been found as being used as the weapons of choice in uprisings. Found a lot of use during in Rwanda, where the Tutsi and the Hutu peoples used it a lot. They killed, you know, hundreds of thousands in roughly a 2-year time period between 1994 and 96. And these also were used in Zimbabwe during their troubles in 1999, which they have just referred to as a moment of madness. You know, yeah, right. They were busy getting rid of the, shall we say, colonial people who were oppressing them originally. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So it seems to be kind of a favorite weapon of choice in a lot of the more agricultural or primitive societies. And, let's see, I know concrete has talked about a company called Cold Steel in the past. Well, Cold Steel currently has 25 different machete variations on for sale on their site. And last but not least, I spoke about this New York State Senator by the name of Avila. Well, I do have a link, you know, comment here about, you know, proposing his ban that he's talking about. And, you know, I actually do have a link here where you can actually, you know, read the article itself that I was talking about. And it looks like I need to check something here, so hang in there just for a moment, okay? Okay, yeah, like I said, just had to check on something here. Had kind of a message come in, so... Okay, well, here we go. Let's see here. A few years back, I had we had part of our garden kind of go wild. We thought we were planting... let's see, what the heck was it? I think... Well, not quite sure what it was my wife thought she was planting. I think maybe she was thinking it was cucumbers or something. But turned out it was some of the plants that we were planting had gotten mixed up, and what we ended up with was, let's see, what was it? We had about a 30-foot row of tomatoes in cages, and she, you know, had thought, well, we'll go ahead and just do some, you know, she was thinking these were bush cucumbers. So she planted two or three of them in between each cage section of the garden, figuring, well, you know, those will be low growing around the bottom, and we'll have the tomatoes come up. Well, it turned out that somehow the stuff got mixed up, and so what we had was about, oh, I'd say probably about 35 pumpkin plants that had gotten planted in between our tomatoes. So that was rather interesting. We had, like I said, pumpkin plants going wild, and we'd been away for a few days and came back, and we found that we had, after things got really growing, we had a heap that was probably about, oh, I'd say a good 4 feet high and probably about 6 or 8 foot wide of pumpkin vines growing over the top of the tomatoes. And, you know, I tried, you know, breaking them loose and laying them down along the rows and to, you know, just kind of get them so they wouldn't be invading every place. And that just didn't work. So I had decided one day, okay, I've had it. It's enough of this stuff. These are too much, too many, and I'm not getting any tomatoes out of this garden this year if I don't do something about it. So I decided I was going to go ahead and build myself a machete. So I headed on into my shop. This is, you know, late morning. You know, the sun was starting to come out, getting a little bit warm, and I was getting frustrated and a little hot under the collar. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to build myself a machete. So what I did, dug around the shop there, found myself a piece of metal, which you can kind of see in the first photo here. Again, these are some shots I'd taken along the way, and obviously some of these aren't the greatest, but they kind of get the point across. I ended up taking some of the photos apart and, you know, lightening them up and everything else, but you can kind of see how things work. So, the first shot here is a piece of metal I started with. This piece was a piece of low-carbon steel. In other words, just, you know, some pretty soft stuff. Measured 22 inches long by 1 3/4 inches wide by about 1/8 of an inch thick. So, you know, just just a piece of cheap, soft, steel. And I went ahead and, cut out my basic blank for it. It's kind of hard to see in this next photo, but this is kind of the rough shape I did. I relieved part of it to give me a tang, which we'll talk about a little bit more in the next photo. It's about 4.5 inches long. And I went ahead and kind of roughly shaped it to a point at the end and started forming a small hook on it. And again, we will get to it there. So this is, like I said, this small picture here. It's kind of how it looked after I got through some of the first few operations on it. Okay, so if we get on to picture number 3 here, like I said, it's kind of hard to see, but what I did was I went ahead and relieved both sides of where I knew I was going to be making the tang, which is basically where your hand grip is at on a bladed tool. Okay, so, like I said, this metal originally was 1 3/4 inches wide, and what I did was basically take and measured in 1/4 inch from each side and drew a line down the metal. And then I came up 4.5 inches and, did another line straight across. Once I had, my lines on there, I went ahead and cut that 1/4 inch off the sides. That was done between I actually have a metal shear in my shop, which I started doing the cut with. And, got it about halfway on both of them. And then I proceeded to go ahead and take a saw, hand saw, and just cut, straight up the line until I got to the 4.5 inch point, and then just cut in from the sides. Not rocket science. It's pretty easy to do. And once I had that cut, obviously it was a couple pretty sharp, sharp inside corners and outside corners were sharp. And so what I did was on the outside corners, I just kind of, knocked them back a little bit with a file. Okay, next step. Well, actually, next photo down here. This is a kind of another or a better look at how the edges were, where I cut it. It's, like I said, not rocket science. I just made sure it was, pretty straight the whole way. And, that's where we, got to, relatively quickly on this project. Okay, and then what I did was, at this point, I went ahead and just drilled a couple 3/16 inch holes in there. Wasn't real critical with it, measured, down the middle of the piece of metal, Obviously, like I said, it was 1 1/4 wide, so it was, 5/8 of an inch from the edges, lined straight down the middle. And then just drilled the 3/16 holes. They turned out, in this case, to be, 2 3/4 inches on center. Again, it wasn't a critical placement because this was just a quickie garden tool. Okay, now if we go ahead down here to the next shot, this is where I'd gone ahead and started making my tip for my machete. Most often a machete will just have a straight back with just a rounded tip. Well, I decided in this case, since I was knew I was going to be taking vines out, what I did was instead of having just a semi-rounded point to it, I just went ahead and brought it to almost like a spear point type of thing, and then I went ahead and cut back on one side to make myself a hook on it. And the way I did that was, again, just took and kind of drew myself a little line and saying, okay, this is about where I want to have the hook at, and I used, had a small Makita grinder to start with. And you could do it actually all the way with a round file, but I just, was in a hurry, so I just took the Makita. Came in from both, both flat sides with the grinder and just kind of cut myself a notch in there. And if you look at it closely, I know it's kind of hard to see, but basically the hook goes almost all the way across, or almost the halfway point of the blade, and it comes to kind of a pretty sharp point on there. And then I just went ahead with a file, filed that out to round it out to give it a good rounded cutting edge. So now with this here, the next thing I did was I went ahead and worked on making my edge for the main blade, or the bevel portion of the main part of the blade. And this kind of goes with what I was talking about last week and the week before about making a sword edge, and I was talking about packing the metal, and this is kind of how it's done. This is kind of a cheesy drawing here. Obviously the brown, the two-tone brown thing that's supposed to represent a engineer's hammer, a blacksmith's hammer. The kind of light purplish silver type piece is like the metal that's being worked, and the gray block down the bottom there just is there to represent the anvil. So you see and when the metal is heated and you want to hammer an edge most of the way in, this is the way you do it. You hold your metal to where one end is basically touching the anvil. The other edge is lifted up 20 to 30 degrees. And then you strike that edge, strike the other edge of the heated metal with your hammer. And kind of, I got just kind of an arrow in there just demonstrating your direction of your blow. What this does is it forces the metal after a few heats and blows of the hammer. It'll force it into more of a V shape, or more of a knife type edge. So that's what I talked about in the past of how you hammer an edge into something like this. Once you have your edge formed this way, then to sharpen it, you'll go ahead. First, you use a coarse file to hog most of the metal off, and then you follow it up with a finer file. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to just pause here for a few moments, put a piece of music on, and then we will be back to continue on.
Send these and they won't come here anymore. I use your shield and use your head. Fight till everyone is dead. Raise the flag up to the sky. How many of them can we make die? To a marching drum, we'll win the war and pay the toll. Our fighters are one in heart and soul. Midnight mare and blood red roan, fight to keep this land your own. Sound the horn and call the cry. How many of them can we make die? Our axes flash, broadswords swing, shining armor's piercing ring. Houses run with a powder shield. Fight those bastards till they yield.
Getting out of reach due to cost, insurance, or it's just not available. Storms, floods, blizzards, earthquakes, riots, protests, martial law, Ferguson, Missouri, all over the United States. Walgreens is just not there. Learn how to find, make, and obtain your own medication on the Medic Shack with Kat Ellis, our producer, Jacob Hudson, and myself, Chuck Hudson. Live, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, well, I decided, well, it was, I'd gotten after the bottom of the hour there. After I got through with that, and I went, ooh, I better get one of our commercials in our station break in here for to support another one of our shows, The Medic Shack, which will be on tomorrow evening at its usual time, 8 o'clock Central, or, let's see, what is that, 9 Eastern, and, let's see, 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. Yes, okay. So that'll be The Medic Shack with Chuck, Kat, and possibly Jake as well. Okay, well, like I said, we kind of had come to a good breaking point there where we stopped before, and here we are now. We got about 20 minutes left of the show here, so I think I should probably continue on. Okay, so we kind of covered, forming our edge of our blade. You know, like I said, you have to heat it, hammer it out quick to, you know, get most of the metal moved to where you get a fairly close to a sharp edge. You go ahead and work with a coarse file to get more of the metal off. You hog it off to get it closer to being sharp. Then you use a finer file to finish the edge. Okay, so, and while you're doing this as well, you know, this can be done either earlier or later on in the process, you'll need a guard to protect your hands from, you know, any weeds or brush that you're working on. What I did was I had some more, you know, just some rough, soft iron stock around, and so I had took a piece of 1 inch wide by a piece about 4.5 inches long, and again, 1/8 inch thick. It was just mild steel. Measured to the middle of it, and then I cut a slot 1/8 inch wide, which, again, like I said, you know, that's what the thickness of the metal of the tang is, by 1.5 inches long, which is what our width is. Went ahead with that to start with, just, you know, drilled a couple holes in the metal, you know, to kind of give me a line to start with, you know, for what I was working on. Took my little Makita with a edge of a grinding wheel, cut it in from both sides, and then went ahead and, you know, chiseled and filed it out till I had a, you know, a slot in the metal bar, 1/8 inch wide by 1.5 inches long. And I did this while it was flat, because what it was is I wanted to fit things together. You know, because obviously if I would have bent it in the wrong place, then it wouldn't have fit right. So the way we fit it on this is, once I had to where I could slide it up onto my tang, slid it up there as far as it would go until it met up where the blade was at. And, you know, once it fit all the way up there, I was able to mark it where the blade finished up, you know, marked on the metal with a pencil. And once I had that marked, I went ahead and did my bends. Just gave it a gentle bend, you know, it was maybe 20 degrees, just enough to allow my hand to, if it would slide forward, it wouldn't slide onto the blade of the machete. Okay, so if we go down here, oh, by the way, you know, that next shot showing us where I actually had the guard slid up into place and where I had the holes drilled into my tang. Okay, so if we slide down here a little bit more, the next picture here is a couple more shots of the point and the hook on the blade. And that first one that has the kind of sand-colored background, you can see it a little bit easier what it was like. And like I said, you know, the thing was basically, you know, brought to a point first, and then I went ahead and cut the hook in there. You know, just basically, you know, cut it in with the edge of a grinder wheel. And then I went ahead and filed it. So that way it's just basically a hook that's, you know, sharpened all the way around. And so, you know, I could reach down with that when it was completed to hook onto a vine or a small branch and literally jerk it and cut it. And, you know, no need for a brush lopper when doing that. You could just get down there, hook it, and just and pull it, and then I could re-grab it again to pull it out from the pile. You know, it's, like I said, not rocket science. And again, you know, some of these things were kind of done simultaneously. You know, as I sharpened the edge of the blade, now obviously I didn't go all the way back. I left it probably about 6 inches from the guard to where I didn't sharpen it, because it's kind of silly. It wouldn't be chopping that close. But, you know, I had it to where I could cut further out. Okay, so, yeah, like I said, you know, went ahead and did this, you know, sharpened the edges and refined it with fine files. So I had a sharp edge on both edges of the blade back about a little over 3/4 of the way. Sharpened the hook portion of the machete, and also made sure that point was good and sharp, so I could just literally, when I cut vines loose, I could hook it into the vine itself to pull it out. Once everything was pretty well sharpened up, and I was getting ready to heat treat things, first thing I did was, after I had my guard bent, and you know that was pretty well ready, and then also the blade itself. We did these since they weren't going to be real heavy duty things. You know, it was just going to be cutting, you know, light brush or vines. I went ahead and just heated, like for the guard, I just went ahead and heated that up until it was basically between red hot and yellow hot, you know, a good bright orange. Once it was heated up, I just threw it in a bucket of salt water. Or actually, it was Super Quench, but it's Super Quench is basically salt water with some other additives to it. That went and cooled it down extremely rapidly, and when you heat metal up from almost a yellow state to cool in just a matter of a couple seconds, it hardens it tremendously. It might leave it a little bit brittle, but in this case, I wasn't planning on being chopping rocks or anything super heavy, so I didn't worry about it. Okay, with the blade, I also heat treated that. And if you look at this here, you can kind of see a blue line, bluish line crossing the blade itself down near where the tang is at. And basically, again, it was a case of heating up the majority of the blade, you know, between, you know, red and yellow. Yeah, basically good orange heat. I didn't do that much on the very tip of it because it's fairly light. That was the portion I heated up last because I didn't want to burn it. But again, heated it up to, you know, a good bright orange heat. Quenched it down with the Super Quench. And once that had cooled, went ahead and took it out. And then I did warm the blade just a hair, just to kind of draw it out a little bit so it wasn't quite so fragile. You know, it probably wasn't necessary, but I did it anyway. Okay. Once that portion was completed, it was time to make and attach my grip for it. Now, like I said, you know, here we have the next shot. You can see where I had it, you know, saying we're preparing to install the slab grips. The guard was pushed up into place and kind of, you know, tapped on there just to, so it would hold real good. And then I went ahead to make my slabs. Well, the way the slabs are made, and in this case the way I made them, is you decide how thick you want to make your handle or your grip. Well, since I wanted to make it to, you know, fit my hand real good, what I did was I used had a good sized piece of wood that was 5/16 of an inch thick. It was a piece of oak. So what I did was cut two pieces of the hardwood, the oak, that was, like I said, it was 5/16 inch thick. I cut it 1 3/4 inches wide, which was my original stock width for the blade. It's method to my madness here. And then I did it 4 1/2 inches long. So in other words, they were just slightly wider than my tang. Okay, so then once I had those cut, went ahead and, you know, sanded them so they would sit up good against the tang. Took one of them, held it up in place on the bottom side so I could see, you know, wood on both sides, and shoved it up tight. And I marked through both of those holes that I drilled through the metal earlier. Once I had those two markings done on them, I went ahead, took the two pieces of wood, clamped them together, and then I drilled through the wood with the same drill bit I used to go through the metal, a 3/16 inch bit. That gave us two slabs that had matching holes that would match up to our tang. So at that point, I was able to take them, slide them into place, and then I took a couple 16-penny nails and cut them so they were just probably about an eighth of an inch longer than that thickness. The two times the 5/16, which would give us 10/16. Is that right? No. 10/8. Duh. So it would be an inch and an eighth long there, plus the eighth inch for the metal, so it's an inch and a quarter. Is that right? No, 10/16, it's 5/8. Okay. But anyhow, what it was is I measured it, cut two nails off, an eighth of an inch longer than the distance through the whole sandwich stack. Okay, so once I did that, kind of relieved the holes a little bit on one side to so the nail head would fit down in there a little bit easier. Set up the stack, and then I took a ball peen hammer and then went ahead and just peened those nails down, because a 16-penny nail is a soft iron nail, and I was actually able to hammer it down and get it to a relatively smooth point, or relatively smooth state. So basically both sides of the stack, you know, one side was the regular nail heads. They were heading down against the anvil, so they got hammered a little bit and smoothed off. The side that I peened over was, again, you know, rounded down, smoothed out, and swelled out, and basically turned it over a couple times and just, you know, hammered them so it was smooth. Once I had that hammered smooth on both sides, then obviously I had the metal completely surrounded there and the wood was hanging over. So at that point what I did was I took a rough wood file and started filing down that wood until it met the metal. Once it met up with the metal, we were getting closer to having a finished hilt. At that point, I went ahead, again, with a wood file, rounded the edges, you know, to make it comfortable to hold. And once that was pretty well done, took a finer file, smoothed it out more, metal file, and make sure the metal was all smooth on the edge. At that point, I went ahead and sanded them good. And then just put some, some linseed oil on, just to, seal the surface. So, okay, so what else here? Well, I guess we can go down to the last picture here. And the last picture here, that is where the whole thing was all done. You know, I just had a chunk of rug out there, I just threw it over railing on my balcony and kind of stood up above a little bit and took a picture. And like I said, I finished sharpening it, you know, with the, you know, the fine files. I went ahead and sanded the blade out with I think I used about a 1600 grit wet or dry sandpaper just to, you know, polish it up good. Took, like I said, some sandpaper for the wood, sanded that out fine, and oiled it with some linseed oil, and then just basically wiped everything down, and that's what we had. And actually, believe it or not, from the time I started this until this picture was taken at the tail end, it was probably, I'd say about 2.5 hours. That was all it took to make this. So, anyway, so like I said, that's my show here for on how to build a quickie machete. Like I said, it didn't take all that long. It was, you know, kind of a quick and dirty tool. And if a person wanted to, they could, you know, do a lot more refinements on it. But again, quick and dirty. Okay, so what do we have here? Okay, well, it looks like we're here at, almost, 4.5 minutes to the hour. So I think what I'm going to do here is probably be closing out with some music here. So I guess I probably should say thank you very much, all of you, for joining me here in the Tinker Shop tonight here for the 28th of February of 2015. And as you've undoubtedly guessed, if you've been listening all the way along, this has been a show about how to build a machete. And like I've said in the past, this is not meant to encourage people to use these as, you know, anti-personnel weapons, even though they have been used for that in the past. But you know, these are basically a tool for use in your yard and garden. So take care. God bless. Be well. And we'll see you tomorrow night on the Medic Shack here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Thank you, and enjoy the music. Good night.
With a need to bleed you when the light goes green. Best believe I'm in the zone to be. From a yin to my yang disease. Put a grin on my skin when you come to me. Cause I'll win, I'm a one of a kind. And I'll bring death to the place you're about to be. Another river of blood running under my feet. Poison the fire lit long ago. Stand next to me, you'll never stand alone. I'm last to leave, but the first to go. Lord, make me death before you make me whole. I'll feel the fear of the devil inside. Of the enemy faces in my sight. Aim with a hand, shoot with a mind. Kill with a heart like Arctic ice.
I am a soldier and I'm marching on.
I am a soldier and I'm marching on. Of an enemy shore, wade through the blood spilled on the floor. And if another one stands, I'll kill some more. Bullet in the breach and a fire in me, like a cigarette thrown to gasoline. If death don't bring you fear, I swear you'll fear these marching feet. Come to the nightmare, come to me. Deep down in the dark where the devil will be. In the mall where the jaws and the razor teeth. Where the brimstone burns and the angel weeps. Call to the gods of across your path. And my silhouette hangs like a body bag. Hope is a moment now long past. The shadow of death is the one I cast. I am a soldier and I'm marching on. I am a warrior and this is my song.
Shoot the bastard. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy bastards by the bush.
Now I've been bleeding, I mean to inflict the grief, and the least of me is still not of your reach. The killer machine's gonna die.